The following is a lecture on the secrets of devotional service revealed, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 26, 2007, in Vancouver, Canada.
So tonight we are having a very special program. We are going to discuss the most confidential topic. Rajaguhyam, Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. We are going to explain the secrets of pure devotional service. Pure devotional service is understood not by any speculative attempt. Pure devotional service is understood from the acharyas. Mahajana yena gata sapanta. We have to understand from those great, great acharyas who have blazed the trail through the wilderness of this material existence. We offer our respectful obeisances unto these great acharyas. Oma jnana timaranda shaganandjana shalakaya. Chakshurun meditam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto my spiritual master who has so kindly come to me, who am in the darkness of ignorance and is forcing my eyes open with his torchlight of knowledge. Srila Prabhupada has very wonderfully given us this summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in which he has scientifically presented the science of bhakti. So, the basis of our discussion tonight will be the characteristics of pure devotional service as explained by Prabhupada. There are six characteristics of pure devotional service. Number one, pure devotional service brings immediate relief from all kinds of material distress. Number two, pure devotional service is the beginning of all auspiciousness. Number three, pure devotional service automatically puts one in transcendental pleasure. Number four, pure devotional service is rarely achieved. Number five, those in pure devotional service deride even the conception of liberation. Number six, pure devotional service is the only means to attract Krishna. The qualification for going back to home, back to God, is actually to be able to attract Krishna by your loving service. So pure devotional service is essential if we want to achieve perfection. Because without pure devotional service, we will be obliged to fulfill whatever impure desires are in the heart. Actually, it is Krishna's kindness. If at the final moment of our life, Prabhupada explains, if we have any material desire, even small, little material desire, then Krishna will fulfill that. He will say, all right, you can have that thing. So, it is essential, therefore, that we cultivate pure devotional service. It may seem difficult. It may seem unattainable. But I tonight would like to show you how it is not unattainable. Srila Prabhupada did not give us some pie in the sky when you die impractical system. Srila Prabhupada gave us a system that enables us to come to pure devotional service as quickly as possible. Actually, Prabhupada personally instructed me. He said, now you just become qualified to see Krishna face to face. An order. That is our philosophy when the spiritual master gives the disciple an instruction. It's not an option, is it? When the spiritual master orders the disciple must obey, otherwise he is nonsense. He must endeavor to the best of his ability to carry out the order given by the spiritual master. So, I have been ordered by Srila Prabhupada to become so qualified in pure devotional service that I can see Krishna directly with my own eyes. So I know that I have to do that. Prabhupada instructed me. That requires purity. So how does one achieve that purity if you're a struggling soul? We find ourselves in that position now. We are struggling souls, battling it out with the material modes of nature, day in and day out. That's our present situation. We're fighting it out with Maya Devi on a daily basis. Krishna, Maya, Krishna, Maya, like a windshield wiper. We are not fixed. We're being pulled back and forth. The material qualities, the material modes of nature keep pulling us back, pulling us back, pulling us back. So how do we get free of the influence of the material nature? There's nothing more important than this. The most important thing is to become free from the influence of the material nature. So where does it begin? What's the key? The key is actually hearing. We have to develop a taste for hearing about Krishna, hearing the japa that we chant, hearing the kirtans we participate in, hearing the classes, the discussion of Krishna katha. We have to develop an intensity in our hearing. That type of light, it is called laser. Laser means a very intensely focused light. It is so intense, that laser beam, it is so intense that it can burn through metal. You see? So we have to make our chanting and hearing of our japa, our hearing and describing these activities, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu. We have to intensify these activities. This is why we recommend chant your rounds in the early morning before sunrise, because then it's much easier to focus. Rise early, go to bed early, rise early and chant japa in the early morning, Brahma Muhurta. Because then with great focus you can dive ever deeply, deeper, 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 deeper into the name. And this intensity of absorption in the name of Krishna will in fact burn away all tinges of the influence of the material modes of nature. But what do you do if you don't have any taste for in spite of so much endeavor to become fixed in chanting? You still have no taste. And it's just like a constant problem. I can't get the taste. Then what to do? And that is one of the insider secrets revealed in Bhagavatam. Shu shu shro shradanasya vasudeva kataruchi sanmahat sevaya vipra punya tirta nasevana. This is one of the most important principles in the entire Vedic literature from the first canto of the Bhagavatam. It describes there that by serving those souls who are completely free from vice, great service is done. By such service, one gains an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudev. So this is the key. If we're, in spite of so much chanting, we're not getting the taste is not coming. And it's so difficult to carry on mechanically chanting year after year and not feeling that we're going anywhere. Then what do? Then you plug into this very special instruction from the Bhagavatam. You simply have to find out devotees who are purely executing this process of Krishna consciousness without any material motives, who are purely executing Krishna consciousness 24 hours a day. Find out such devotees. And there are many in our movement. There are many such devotees in our movement. Find out such devotees and serve them. Very simple formula. You find out such devotees and you serve them. And by that service to those devotees who are purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, you will find the most wonderful experience or transformation of consciousness going on within your heart. All of a sudden, the name begins to... Well, it's a gradual, actually. Sometimes there are sudden new lights that come out, but the general system is like a sun rising in the morning. You have to steadily engage in these activities of devotional service. And you have to patiently await the arising of the Krishna sun within your heart. But if you will go on patiently enduring all the reactions for your past sins, constantly offering Krishna your obeisances within the heart, you will find that a very sweet and wonderful taste develops for hearing and chanting about Krishna. You'll find that your feelings of love and respect and desire to serve Vaishnavas who are purely absorbed in serving Prabhupada's mission, those feelings increase more and more and more. And in this way, you will find that you become gradually steady in Krishna consciousness. Those things that previously were a great disturbance for you, they just sort of fade away into the scenery. They're no longer an issue. They become a non-issue. Gradually, gradually this happens. The key is to become fixed in your vows. We encourage everyone according to Rupa Goswami's instructions. We encourage everyone to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, to take initiation from that spiritual master, and to follow the orders of that spiritual master. These are the three items mentioned by Rupa Goswami as the top three items for discharging devotional service. Take these activities very seriously. Take the vows that we give our initiates, no illicit sex, no meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling. Chant at least 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and Japa Veda daily. And this way, if one is steady in these activities, then gradually, 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 one will feel that transformation. And one will see that all of those distractions, the material energy throws on our faces, become insignificant. It's actually the nature of Krishna. Krishna is all attractive. So if we take the time and trouble to properly practice sadhana, then we actually get a very strong connection with Krishna. And connection means taste also. So when that taste is there, when one actually gets that experience of Krishna, then can anything in this material world compete? When you have actually experienced some degree of the awakening of your Krishna consciousness? There's a famous pastime. One gopi, she is telling her gopi girlfriend. She is giving her warning. My dear gopi girlfriend, whatever you do, don't you dare go down to the bank of the Jamuna. If you do, you will see there is that boy there, Govinda. And it is the full moon night of the Sharad season. He is down there at the bank of the Jamuna, playing his flute, the fifth note on his flute. Don't go there. If you have any desire to enjoy society, friendship, and love, do not go, do not go, do not go to Jamuna bank tonight. Krishna is so attractive. Krishna is so sweet. He's so wonderful. That if you can experience even a slight little infinitesimal drop of that wondrous beauty of Krishna, then nothing of this material world, even all the wealth of the material world, even the entire treasury of Kuveta, cannot tempt you. Is it? So we encourage you to follow carefully the instructions of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, and those who were purely preaching on His behalf. You follow their instructions very carefully, very sincerely, very devotedly, and you will begin to have the most wonderful awakening of Krishna consciousness. You see, this is nothing artificial. You are already the pure devotee of Krishna, actually. You already have pure bhakti. But now it is simply covered, that's all. Tamagun, Rajagun, Sattvagun. It is covering that pure bhakti within the heart. So one simply has to conduct one's life's activities in such a way that those coverings are being washed away constantly. Not just 2 hours a day or 3 hours a day or five. Engage in such a way that those modes of nature, the influence of the modes of nature, are being washed away 24 hours a day, at least during our waking hours, at least while we're awake. And actually, if one dedicates one's waking hours totally in the service of the Lord, in one's sleep also, one will dream about Krishna, one will dream about devotee association. And even in one's sleep, one can make spiritual progress. If you take advantage of the waking hours to the fullest extent, Krishna will bless you with Krishna conscious dreams. So, if we very seriously and devotedly take this pathway, Krishna will give us all help. Ananyaschintayantomang yejana pryupasate tesham nityabhyuktanam yogachemam vahamyaham. To those who worship me with exclusive devotion, note the term exclusive, that's very important. Those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, for them I preserve whatever they have and I fill in whatever they're missing. I provide whatever they're missing. So, to be promised by that person who owns everything, that he'll miss in whatever, he'll fill in whatever you're missing, that's a pretty powerful promise. If somebody who doesn't have much promises that they'll, whatever you're lacking, I'll give it to you, that promise doesn't carry much weight. But when that person Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. When that person who owns absolutely everything is guaranteeing you, hey, don't worry, if you're missing something, I'll provide it for you. Spiritual and material, you see. I'll give you everything you need, don't worry. That carries a lot of weight, a lot of weight. So we should be finding out then, what is this thing called exclusive devotion? That's pure devotional service. That's the meaning of pure devotional service, exclusive devotion. What does exclusive mean? To the exclusion of everything else. Christ also taught this principle. One man, he came, he wanted to join the movement of Lord Christ. He said, I've come to join you, but I have to go back right now because one of my relatives just died. I have to make arrangements for the funeral. What was Christ's answer? Let the dead bury the dead. In other words, you stay right here. Somebody else who's not, you know, spiritually awakened, they can take care of that activity. You just stay here now. That's what Christ was saying. I don't think he got the message, though. But that is, Christ was also teaching exclusive devotion. So you may say, but oh, now you're telling me I have to give up my family. No, we are not saying that. We're not saying to renounce everything and become a sannyasi. But we are saying this. You stay in your present situation with your family, with your job, everything. Stay in your present situation. But renounce the false conception of being the proprietor. That's what we're saying. You have to see that nothing is mine. This body is not mine. My wife, my husband, my kids, my parents, my brothers, my sisters, my cousins. Nothing is mine. I cannot claim proprietorship over anything. Because everything is the property of God. Shishi Radha Madan Mohan Ki Jai. Everything is the property of God. So, who is the rightful enjoyer of something? If Mr. Smith owns an automobile, can anybody just come along and get in Mr. Smith's automobile or Mr. Patel's automobile and go for a drive? No, it's called thief. The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. No one else can rightfully enjoy. The owner is the rightful enjoyer. So Krishna, he is the owner of everything. Sarva Loka Maheshwaram. Therefore, Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, he is the enjoyer of everything also. So we are not saying to give up your wife, your kids, your husband, your job. No, wherever you are, you stay in your position. But try to see that everything is the property of Krishna. And utilize everything in the service of Krishna. That is the highest renunciation. You see? Arjuna was thinking, I just want to renounce. But Krishna's understanding of renunciation was different than Arjuna's. Arjuna's was, I give up my bow and arrows, I give up my duty as a kshatriya. You see? No. Krishna's understanding of, no, you engage in your professional activities, but do it for me. So we have to understand what is the actual meaning of pure devotional service by seeing the example of Arjuna. By studying the Bhagavad Gita with complete comprehension, we can easily understand what is pure devotional service. We simply have to be followers in the footsteps of Arjuna Anugas. That's all. Simply have to become Arjuna Anugas, those who follow in the path of Sri Arjuna. Utilizing everything that we have for Krishna under the order of the spiritual master. That is the secret of success in Krishna consciousness, in pure devotional service. Now, once you adopt these principles wholeheartedly, then how will you clean out all the subtle dirt? This is another point. One says, okay, I'll follow this. I will take initiation. I'll chant 16 rounds. I'll follow these principles. But now I'm tortured and tormented. I'm trying to serve the senior devotees. I'm doing everything. But still I'm tortured and tormented by false pride. You see? Then how do I get rid of them? How do I clean out the subtle dirt? Many people join this movement and feel immediate relief because they've gotten rid of all the gross contamination very quickly. But then that subtle stuff, there's a saying that separates the men from the boys. One who can master getting rid of the subtle dirt, you see, that's the person who becomes very advanced in Krishna consciousness. So how do we go after that subtle dirt and effectively free ourselves from the subtle dirt? That's very important. We can study the three different levels of being a devotee. There's Kanishta Adhikari, Majjhama Adhikari, and Uttama Adhikari. The Uttama Adhikari, he is the most advanced devotee. He is fully absorbed always in thinking how to push forward the Krishna consciousness movement. He's not envious of anyone. Actually, he feels love for all living beings. He's always bestowing kindness and mercy upon everyone, wherever he goes. Because he feels connected with Krishna and he's simply giving Krishna's mercy to everyone in all times, places and circumstances. So that's the ultimate goal that we're all supposed to come to. How do we get there? Well, the first step is to become a Majjhama Adhikari. The Kanishta, it's good that he's Krishna conscious, but he's selfish in his Krishna consciousness. We have to get off the Kanishta platform. That's the first step. He's very selfish. He doesn't really know how to respect the devotees. He knows how to come to the temple, take darshan, and beg Krishna to fulfill his material desire. But he doesn't really know how to respect the Vaishnavas. But Krishna explains in the Adi Purana, the one who is my devotee, he is not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee, he is my actual devotee. So the first step, we have to learn how to respect the devotees of Krishna. Serve the devotees of Krishna. By that appreciation and service to Vaishnavas, then we become established as Majjhama Adhikari. And then from there, we can progress further to Uttama Adhikari. So how do we develop the qualities of Uttama? That comes by developing humility. We have to develop great, great, great humility. Now I'll give you an example of so-called humility. One disciple wrote Srila Prabhupada a letter. He said, Srila Prabhupada, I am the most fallen. Maybe you've heard this one, but Prabhupada said, you're not the most anything. You're simply insignificant. So when it comes to developing humility, it's not that, you can't say I'm the most, go around and say, I'm the most fallen. I'm thinking, boy, I'm really humble, you know. I'm telling everybody I'm the most fallen. No. The actual position of humility is, Prabhupada says, silent. Silent worker does not advertise. You see? Not advertising himself. I am this, I am that. So, how do we actually get in there and get rid of that subtle dirt? This is very important. One thing we can learn by studying from the scriptures about these great Uttama Adhikaris. These great Uttama Adhikaris, they feel themselves very rotten and despicable. Even though they are completely pure, they feel that they are the most fallen, abominable demons, and that everyone else is a pure devotee. We cannot imitate that, but that's the mood they have. They feel that everyone, every living entity throughout the totality of existence is a pure devotee except for themselves being the most fallen, rotten, despicable, wretched demon. That's the humility they have. You see? So we can't imitate that, but there's something we can do. And that is we can be honest with ourselves about our own fallen position. At least we can do that much. We can understand that I was in the spiritual world with the Lord. I became envious of Him. I revolted against Him. And that's why I'm here. And I'm still tinged with this revolting, envious, proud mentality. We should own up to this fact. It's a fact. That's why we're here. I'll give you an example in this connection. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He said, actually, I have no love for Krishna. The proof is that if I truly loved Krishna, then I would die immediately in His separation. So if Lord Chaitanya is saying like that, what is our position? The more I think, yes, I love Krishna very much, then look out. It's a danger sign. One thinks, I'm so fallen, Krishna, please save me. That's advancement. The more one feels, I'm in a very fallen position, Krishna, please save me. The more one intensely is begging Krishna's mercy to save him from fallen condition, that is actual advancement. Srila Prabhupada told us in Boston, he says, I'm always praying to Krishna that I will not fall down. Was there any danger of Srila Prabhupada falling down? We wouldn't think so. But Prabhupada thought so. Therefore, he was constantly begging Krishna to protect him from Maya. So the point is, these great exalted Uttama Adhikaris like Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor Acharya, they are in that mood of always begging Krishna to save them. So that's a key for us, how we can advance to the platform of pure devotional service. We have to always be in that mood of, I am in a very difficult situation right now. I have a heart which is full of material desires. And I have to beg my guru, I have to beg Srila Prabhupada and the predecessor Acharyas, I have to beg them to please save me from this fallen, abominable mentality that I'm stuck in right now. In other words, I desperately need rectification. Please save me. You see? That mood. If we actually understand it's not artificial, that's the reality. We are desperately in need of rectification. That's the reality. In other words, it's not enough to be a well-respected devotee around ISKCON. We see many well-respected devotees who were here one day and gone the next, who don't even chant Hare Krishna even anymore. They are highly respected devotees in this movement. Simply being a highly respected devotee in the movement is not enough. One has to feel how fallen I am, how desperately I need to be rectified from this fallen condition that I'm in. That mood, that humble mood, will protect one from ever falling away from Krishna consciousness. And that mood will make one very, very dear to Krishna. Krishna Priya. The more we become dear to Krishna, that is our advancement in Krishna consciousness. So how do we endear ourselves to the Lord? By becoming very, 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 very humble. That's how we endear ourselves to the Lord. He's not impressed by our great accomplishments or our small accomplishments. He's impressed by the humility. So we must strive like that. Trinadapi sunichena tororapi suhishnuna manina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. We have to feel that I'm lower than the straw in the street. We have to be more tolerant than a tree, ready to offer all respect to others without expecting even a slight tinge of respect for ourselves. You see? In that state of humility, we can be fully absorbed 24 hours a day in Krishna consciousness. So, these are the insider secrets. How to attain pure devotional service. Kindly, these are not my instructions. I am simply repeating what is coming down from the previous acharyas. So kindly, dedicate your life to following these instructions. Become very, very devoted to following these instructions. And if you do so, then it is guaranteed by Brahmaji himself, Premanjana Charito Bhakti Valokchanena Santaksadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti Yang Shama Shundaramachitya Gunasvarupam Govindamadi Purusham Damaham Vajami. Brahmaji has certified that if we will anoint our eyes with the love of God ointment, Prem Anjana. And that ointment comes by those who chant in with all humility, you see. If we will take that ointment of love of God upon the eyes, then we will see Krishna everywhere, within and without. One doesn't have to wait to go back to home, back to Godhead to see Krishna. If one becomes a pure Vaishnava, Krishna will reveal himself personally to you. So I can ask now if there's any questions. Yeah.
You mentioned that in the beginning you don't have so much taste, or maybe sometimes people, if chanting continues, there is no taste. But in Bhagavad Gita 9.2, we can see, because it's protected to Saladamam, Krishna is so kind that he does give some kind of realization, even to the
Yes, that's true. But so why do people leave? So many people have come and gone. Most people, the number of people who have left this movement is huge. Why did they leave? Because they weren't getting the taste. So why they were not getting the taste? I've been around, you've been around for many years, yes. How many people have come and gone? How many of the 5,000 people who took initiation from Prabhupada, how many are actively part of this movement now? You see? So there is a fatality right there. Persons, of course, in the beginning, everyone gets taste. But why they lose it? Is it? That's statistical reality. People lose the taste, so why are they losing it? It is actually aparat. Vaishnava aparat is the main reason people lose the taste. Therefore, Prabhupada wanted an initiation ceremony. The 10 offenses should be given. The description of the 10 offenses should be given. There is a taste for everyone gets taste. That's why we come. But why they lose the taste? Because of aparab. So one has to learn how to avoid the aparab. The first aparad is to blaspheme or criticize the devotees who have dedicated their lives to propagating the holy name. So how does one, in other words, one has to highly respect the Vaishnavas. If one does not respect the Vaishnavas, then you will disrespect. You can't be in a neuter condition. You either respect them or you disrespect them. We have to learn how to respect the Vaishnavas. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given. Offer all respect to others without expecting any respect for oneself. You see. If we follow that instruction, then the taste will grow more and 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 more. But if we do not learn how to respect Vaishnava, then because of aparad, we will lose that taste. So it's a fact, everyone gets taste, that's why they come. But then why they leave? Why did they lose the taste? What happened? Aparad. They didn't come off the Kanishta platform to Madhya platform. Majjam, where they can offer all respect to the Vaishnava. Krishna told Arjuna, you want to be my devotee? Then you must become the devotee of my devotee. And that, there is lacking there. People leave because they haven't learned how to become devotees of the devotee. Unless we can learn how to become devotee of the devotee, we will lose that taste because of aparam. Any other questions? Yes.
You were mentioning from the very beginning of the class to just now, midway through it and now, about becoming a devotee of the devotee.
Yes.
Now, wouldn't someone say, okay, I'm a devotee of Krishna's devotees by worshipping the demigods.
Yes. So someone may say, all right, I'm a devotee of Shiva, I'm a devotee of Durga, etc., etc., etc. If one is seeing them as devotees of Krishna and offering and respecting them as Krishna's devotees, there is no difficulty. But the trouble is the demigod worshippers are not doing that. They're not seeing them as devotees of Krishna. They're flattering them as if they are the supreme and asking for material things. That is a big difference. We offer all respect to the demigods. They are great devotees. Actually, Prabhupada, in Berry Place, Prabhupada had the devotees make an asan for Lord Shiva. You know why? Prabhupada said that Lord Shiva was attending the kirtan. He could see, we could not see, but Prabhupada could see how Lord Shiva was attending the kirtan. So he had the devotees make an asana for Lord Shiva. So Prabhupada wanted that all respect should be offered to Lord Shiva, who was coming to enjoy the kirtans of the devotees. So we have all respect for the demigods. We do not think they are the supreme. You see, we see them as great devotees, and we offer them all respect as great devotees of the Lord. Yes?
How does one recognize...
What is this banging? Where is this coming from? Okay, go ahead.
How does one recognize a pure Vaishnava?
Yes.
Unless one can follow this Vaishnava and be with him 24 hours a day, which... Oh, please.
How does one recognize a pure Vaishnava? Well, you have to study Prabhupada's books very thoroughly and see what are the qualities of a person who is purely absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada's books are the place where one will actually see what is pure devotion. You have to see someone who is a living embodiment of what's written in Prabhupada's books. That person is purely absorbed. Someone who doesn't deviate, that is pure. Of course, there are different. Pure can mean different things. But at least, pure means who never deviates from Vaishnava principles. That is purity. That person is pure, who never ever deviates from Vaishnava principles. Who's always humble, who's always respectful towards all Vaishnava, who does not violate the regulated principles, who's always strictly following the principles, and is always compassionate to all living beings. There are many symptoms. Shri Radha Madan, Shri Madha, Madan Mahan Ki Jai. Of course, Prabhupada is the ideal example. But it's not that one has to be another Prabhupada, Jagad Guru, you know, the greatest acharya in the history of the world, to be a pure devotee. Actually, one time Prabhupada said, and they said, Prabhupada, how many pure devotees are there on this planet? Prabhupada said, how many devotees are there in ISKCON? Of course, that was his mercy. But anyone who is strictly following this process without deviation, 24 hours a day, who's dovetailing every thought, every word, and every deed in the service of the Lord, that person is considered pure. That's a thing.
And very rare for a pure devotee?
It's a very rare thing. Krishna says it is very rare.
Yes.
Does that mean it's impossible? It's so rare that I could never do it, so I might as well not even try. I mean, everyone knows you can't really be a pure devotee, so, you know, I'm just going to, you know, be comfortable being a mixed devotee. No, we should be very uncomfortable about our present position of not being pure devotees. We should feel very uncomfortable about that right now. I should feel really uncomfortable about the impurities that are, you know, that are sitting in my heart right now. I should be very uncomfortable about that. And just begging Krishna to save me at every minute, you see. Well, only Prabhupada can really be a pure devotee, you know, nobody else. That's bogus. Prabhupada wants us all. Who was I? When he told me to become qualified to see Krishna face to face, I was just some pot washer in the kitchen. Some lowly brahmachari, rank and file brahmachari, washing pots in the kitchen. Prabhupada ordered me to become a pure devotee. So this is for everyone. We have to strive for pure bhakti. Yes?
Just give an example right now about Uttama Adhikari, qualities of Uttama without envy and thinking of the welfare of everyone out of kindness. And so if they are hard, they have this desire also to please Krishna by preaching and spreading the Krishna consciousness by expanded vision. Isn't a preacher falling into that category, even though he may not be so pure, but a preacher wants to deliver Krishna consciousness to the others.
I'm a little hard of hearing. I'm see if my wife can tell me what you said. Repeat the question for me.
She said that you gave the example of Uttama.
The microphone makes it harder. The echo makes it harder. Yeah.
She said that you gave the example of Uttama Adhikara, mm-hmm. who is with compassion and who gives, who thinks about the welfare of others. So in that category, if a preacher is going around and preaching,
Uttama Adhikari does not preach because there's no reason to preach because everybody's more advanced than him. That's the actual mood. So he cannot, one who isn't fully in the mood of Uttama Adhikari, he cannot preach. It doesn't make sense for him to preach because he sees everyone as a pure devotee except for himself. But these great Uttama Adhikaris, like Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they come down to the level of Majjhima Adhikari. They act on the Majjhima Adhikari platform by preaching one. That is their kindness upon them. They could be relishing the sweetest mellow of, you know, Krishna Leela. But they concern themselves with our dirt, helping us to get free of our lust, our anger, our greed. That is compassion. They could be totally absorbed in Radha Krishna Leela, but just see what they're dealing with. I know my godbrother, Ravina Saruprabhu, we can read in the letter book, the letters that Prabhupada wrote, but he happened to see the collection of the letters that Prabhupada had received for which those answers were written. And it was just full of so much dirt. And Prabhupada was dealing with all of that dirt, mercifully dealing with all that dirt to purify us, you see. This problem, this complaint, this fall down, one thing after another, after another, after another. He could have been absorbed in, you know, just meditating on Radha and Krishna's Leela. But he came down and dealt with this devotee's sex desire, this devotee's fall down, this devotee's envy, this devotee stole money from the temple, on so many things, you know, out of compassion. So that is very, when these great Uttama Adhikaris, when they come down to Majjhima platform, that is their infinite mercy upon us. Struggling jivas, their infinite mercy upon it. Next question. Yeah.
Maharaj, should we link our relationship with Srila Prabhupada first and then to the Guru Maharaj so that if anybody falls down, as you're saying, is it good?
Is what good now? One's relationship?
With Prabhupada, should we have that our first relationship with Prabhupada and then to our spiritual guru who is giving us Diksha, so that if somebody falls down, still we are strong?
So, how does one, the question is, what's the best way to connect with Krishna? How do you become Krishna conscious? Well, the best thing is to, the books are the, what is that? These are the law books. Prabhupada's instructions are the law book. Actually, Prabhupada told us one time, the guru is not the center. He said, the shastra is the center. So even Prabhupada would say, I am not the center also. The actual center is the shastra, according to Prabhupada's instructions, not him. That's what he said. It's not me, it's the shastra. So actually, one should carefully read Prabhupada's books. Bhagavad Gita, Nectar Devotion, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Easy Journey to Other Planets. Sri Yusha Upanishad, Nectar of Instruction. One should focus on those books and not the others. The others, that's extracurricular stuff. Not that important. The most important thing is everybody should focus on Srila Prabhupada's books. If you do that and just follow what's in the books, then you're rightly situated. If you feel a strong sentiment for your initiating guru and it's all based on Prabhupada's books, then you're properly situated. If you feel a strong affection for Prabhupada, for Bhaktisiddhanta, Narada Muni, as long as you're following what's in these books, you're properly situated. Now everybody has their own rasa also, their own feelings, their own experiences, so it's different. One man's food is another man's poison also. You see, some people got initiated by that guru who left the movement. And they're going to have a different feeling than someone whose guru is bestowing unlimited mercy on them all the time. And, you know, very solid. You know, there's so many different things. But the common denominator for everyone is Prabhupada's book. That's the common denominator. If we will all study these books and follow what's in these books, then whatever we do that's confirmed by these books, that's first clue. That's the answer.
We say sadhu, guru, and shastra.
Right.
Who is sadhu?
You are a sadhu. You and all the devotees, you are all sadhus. And sadhu means the great acharyas, mahajano yena gatasya pantam. Sadhu means the devotees, those who are purely practicing Krishna consciousness. The guru is there, we develop our faith and our devotion towards our spiritual master. That applies to one's initiating guru, and to Srila Prabhupada, to Srila Bhakti, all the gurus. And then there are so many devotees in our life, they are sadhus. Of course, sadhu is guru and guru is sadhu. These things overlap also, and they are all speaking shastra. They are living shastra. So actually, these things overlap because the spiritual guru, he is person Bhagavatam also. He is a living embodiment of shastra. So actually, the spiritual master is sadhu, he's guru, and he's living embodiment of shastra all at one time. And shastra is also our guru. So these things they overlap with each other. But by general analysis, we understand there are the books. Prabhupada's books are there. And we have guru, and we have so many devotees. They are sadhus. So we take help from the sadhus. Just like here, you have a wonderful community of sadhus. So one can get strength from one's spiritual masters. One can get strength from the devotees here in this community. They are sadhus. And strength from the books of Srila Prabhupada. There you have guru, sadhu, and shastra. Those three things. And if you know, if you're a photographer, you know that they have different sort of aids for keeping your camera steady, isn't it? They have the one-legged one, and that's not very steady. But when you get a tripod, then it's solid. A duopod, it can fall over. A monopod, it can also fall over. But when you get a tripod, it can stand on its own. You see? So here we have our tripod, guru, sadhu, and shastra. Very, very solid. Three things. Once you get 3 feet in the ground, then you're solid. So we need those three things. Prabhupada didn't like devotees who just wanted to take shelter of him. There were devotees when Prabhupada was here, said, Prabhupada, I don't want to hear from anybody except you. Prabhupada didn't like that attitude. He wanted that the other devotees should also be respected. He didn't like this attitude. No, I will only serve Prabhupada. I only hear from Prabhupada, no one else. He didn't. Baba didn't like that attitude. He liked devotees who were willing to cooperate with each other, not just with him only. You see, that's what he wanted to see. He personally told me. Now there's so many people saying, "Well, the GBC are no good. You should just do your own thing. Don't listen to the GBC. Don't listen to the temple presidents." We hear that a lot nowadays. But Prabhupada personally ordered me to do whatever the temple president and the GBC says. So even though I'm a traveling preacher, when I go to the temple, I always make sure with the local authorities that I'm pleasing you. I always think that Prabhupada told me to please the temple president. So I don't think, well, I'm a visiting guru, they should be pleasing me. No. I think, what is the temple president? How can I please the local authorities? That's my mood, you see. How can I act and preach in such a way when I'm visiting this temple that I'm pleasing the local authorities? Because that's how Prabhupada ordered me. He said, don't just be my devotee, but you have to be the devotee of my devotees. Prabhupada trained me like that. I have to be a devotee of his GBC. I may disagree with him sometime, but I still have to be devoted to them. You see? And I am. I have to be devoted to them in this way. So, we are meant to connect not only with Srila Prabhupada by himself. We are meant to connect with Prabhupada as he has expanded himself as the devotees of this movement. They are all his expansions. Prabhupada said, ISKCON is my body. See, Prabhupada is acting. All those people who are sincerely following Srila Prabhupada, they become agents of Prabhupada. They become expansions of Prabhupada, actually. He is using them just like Lord Ram used all those monkeys, you see, to carry out his mission. He is acting through so many wonderful devotees. Just like this morning I was hearing Jai Govinda Prabhu reading from the Lamrita. And I was thinking how much he's empowered by Srila Prabhupada to preach and connect us with Prabhupada. He's putting so much love into this reading. You see? That just by hearing tuning in to his consciousness, one is immediately connected with Srila Prabhupada. You see? So in this way, not that, well, you know, only take it from Prabhupada and no one else. I only hear what Prabhupada says and no one else. No. We have to see how Prabhupada is speaking through the mouths of so many of his followers all over the world. Of course, we have to carefully study the books to be able to tell the difference. But we should be able to see when someone is actually purely, we have to know if someone is purely presenting within the books. And such a person, they become empowered by Prabhupada to push forward this movement. Those devotees have to be highly respected and served with love. Any other questions? Yes? Silent is one of the 26 qualities of Vaishnava. And Prabhupada said it means you don't advertise yourself. That, you know, I'm great, everybody see how great I am.
So, I find a lot of times I'll be like talking about my experiences or, and I feel that...
That's all right.
Well, you can share.
One can share one's experiences, that's very nice.
So it's okay.
But always do it in a... Always think that by the grace of Guru and Krishna, I have gotten these great experiences. Never think that you are deserving them or worthy of them. Just think you are the undeserving, fortunate recipient of these wonderful experiences. And then your description will be very nice. We will all love to hear. We can hear for hours your descriptions. If in this mood you will describe. Questions, Maura? All right. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Pure devotional service ki jai.